Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X feed at Guard Goldsmith. And of course, feel free to visit my Substack. And let's first turn to the story about Mike Johnson. Here it is, everybody. Yes, the added arrogance, ignorance, flippancy, literally, of Speaker Mike Johnson. $95 billion for Ukraine alone is what he wants. And, of course, he gives us a reference to Newt Gingrich as somehow a supportive factor in his argument that he is a wartime Speaker of the House and that this just has to be done, including FISA surveillance of you and an even expanded version of FISA, plus, of course, more money going to Israel. Let's see what this great, great man had to tell us. Oh, what a Christian.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times. This has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country in the moment we're in right now. He said, arguably, maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Okay, well, you know what, everybody? Newt Gingrich, those of you who don't remember, Newt Gingrich also is the man who, around 2005 or so, said that he wanted everything that went out on the internet to be adjudged by a panel to find out whether it could go on the internet first. And he said, I would be supportive of that as long as the panel was composed of people who had had military service. A panel of judges for speech. That was Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich. He's quoting Newt Gingrich. And let's watch that again, everybody, because I do think that this is quite valuable to see, because this guy's so full of himself that he thinks it's like he's some sort of a Churchill-esque figure. That he knew this going in, and there's a steady hand is required. Really? You mean something like maybe somebody who conforms to the Constitution? No! No! What are you talking about, Gardner? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Here we go.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay?
Okay, so let's just stop it there. Why is it we, first of all? We are in unprecedented times. Why do I have to be party to your collusion and you're sending weapons over there? And maybe that's part of the reason why the United States, as you say, as you try to portray, is in unprecedented times. Because Joe Biden has blocked energy from Russia. Joe Biden and other people were involved in the overthrow of the government of Ukraine. United States backing of NATO saw the expansion of NATO into former Iron Curtain nations. The United States overthrew that government in Ukraine and then put in a government that was friendly with neo-Nazis and now is supplying them with weapons. Maybe that's why United States is we, wink, wink, are tied to that problem. I know. Maybe it's almost like the United States helped bring about the problem. I know. Isn't that strange? People like you who keep giving weapons to Ukraine. On our dime and the dimes of future generations whom you're enslaving. And then, of course, there's the other argument about Israel. I didn't know that the United States had a 51st state called Israel. I didn't know that. I also have a bit of a problem with the United States, without any declaration of war, according to your constitution, giving them every year, unless it stopped, almost $4 billion a year in weapons aid. As David Stockman mentioned yesterday, they could increase their corporate tax 1 or 2%, and they could fund their own military there. Yeah, I know. It's strange. Maybe you're not familiar with David Stockman. He's the guy is pretty pro-freedom. He used to work for Reagan, knows about economics and stuff and the Constitution and stuff there, Mr. Speaker. I also noticed you didn't mention the Constitution, and you're still doing the royal we of forced inclusion. I'd rather not be part of your plans. I don't see how the Iran-Israel conflict has anything to do with the United States. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to make oil prices pretty bad because supposedly the Israelis are going to retaliate against the Iranians who retaliated against the Israelis killing people unprovokedly inside Syria in the Iranian embassy. According to the United Nations, the Iranian government had the full so-called right prerogative to retaliate. They didn't kill anybody in their retaliation. You have seen there are many experts, including Douglas McGregor and others, who have said that they specifically went about their retaliation against military targets. That's not what Israel did, is it? Now, it was a state target, but there were civilians in the embassy that they destroyed in Damascus. How about they don't destroy an embassy at all? That's an idea. How about they don't make me pay for it? There's an idea, too. But you, being Speaker of the House in an office that's provided by the U.S. Constitution, have the fatuous inclination to say things like this.
We're in dangerous times. This has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that.
Okay, and that's the final bit there. Literal. He doesn't even know the difference between the United States officially declaring war with a capital W and not declaring war. That would be a figurative sense. That's the difference, Speaker. I thought you were a bright guy. That's what everybody said. You're saying the United States is literally at war. When did you was that part of your omnibus budget that you sneaked in a declaration of war and we just didn't know? I don't know. Maybe it's just in there. We don't know. The United States is perpetually at war, and then they have the audacity to then use authorization to use military force. As I wrote for, I believe it was the Mises Institute, they might as well use the word donut. There is no such thing in the Constitution. It would be nice if people, as XTC would say, if people would wake up and understand that. But what can you do? That's the Speaker. Let's look at some of the specifics on what this guy is pushing. And then we'll go back a little bit later and talk about the Israeli-Iran conflict, the EU sanctions against Iran that the United States is pushing as well, and a few other things. First, let's talk about the United States. Johnson unveils $95 billion foreign military bills. According to Dave DeCamp, the legislation includes $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. And he wants to get this done on Friday. The three bills, plus that other one for FISA, match roughly with the $95 billion foreign military aid bill that was passed by the Senate, although Israel will get a boost in military aid. Is it time yet? Is it time to seriously grit one's teeth and say, anywhere these people appear, anytime they appear, face off against them, tell them, ask them, cite for me the passage of the Constitution. And give it the closure of, if you cannot do that, why do you swear an oath to the Constitution? If you can't do it, why is there an amendment process in there if you're just going to do anything you want? Is your office open to anybody who walks in? Or does the Constitution delineate and specify that there's one office for the Speaker? How does that work? Tell us where it applies and where it doesn't apply, because it seems to only apply when it's your seat. And then the rest is just completely hands off. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter at all. Yep, the Israeli bill costs a total of $26 billion, the majority of which will go towards supporting the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. And as I mentioned, despite the White House claiming that Joe Biden told Netanyahu not to attack Iran, well, guess what? The Israelis announced they are going to attack Iran, and the Speaker is still pushing $26 billion to go to them. And, of course, Joe Biden will allow it. So the things they say and the things they do obviously do not comport, does not compute, right? Then we've got the FISA aspect coming up on Friday. So let's get a little theme for that, and then we'll go back to the Iran-Israel conflict and Ukraine after we're joined by Eric Peters. But let's talk about the FISA portion of this, because it's even worse than people thought. We need a theme for that, of course. Public Image Limited. Those people in Gaza, right? Who needs those Palestinians or anybody down there? We need the Israelis to move in. Zionist state must expand. It's awesome. Love that line. Go crawl back into your dustbin with all the other tin pot dictators and despots through the years. Steve Vai. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Remember, everybody, Steve Vai is joining Robert Fripp and the drummer from Tool. They're getting together to do King Crimson's 80s stuff from, like, Discipline and stuff like that, Three of a Perfect Pair, Elephant Talk. And they're going to be touring, I think, starting in the fall. So I cannot wait for that. All right, let's start it off with a little tip of the hat to the great Derek Brose. And, of course, you can find him on Twitter at on X at D Bros, B-R-O-Z-E, Live Free. D Bros, Live Free. News, surveillance state on steroids. Congress is preparing to pass an amendment to Section 702 of FISA that would vastly expand the powers of the NSA. The Conscious Resistance Network's newest contributor, Don Valla Jr., explains more. All right, so before we go into that, I want to turn to the excellent work of you know who.
But the headline tells us a little bit about where we're going, and that is, this is from Zero Hedge, supercharged spying provision buried in terrifying FISA 702 reauthorization. I guess it shouldn't shock us that there's something in there. It was already so bad. With this discovery has nothing to do with providing more national defense. Matter of fact, it has everything to do with undermining, you know, liberty and defense, because it's such an atrocious attack on personal liberties.
And remember what Johnson said. He said, well, when I was on Judiciary, there were thousands and thousands of abuses by the FBI. But now that I'm Speaker, I got a classified briefing, and I'm all for it. So it shows that he's either criminally naive about this whole thing, in which case you shouldn't be the Speaker, shouldn't even be in Congress, or he's in on it. He's one of them. He's against America. And it's terrible. Let's put that first clip up. Because buried in the bill, HPSC, the House, the Select Intelligence Committee, put some things in it, put an amendment to this bill that made it incredibly worse. It said, here's the hedge opener. On Monday, House finalized procedural business on a bill to reauthorize the nation's warrantless surveillance powers under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which Ron Wyden called one of the most dramatic and terrifying expansions of government surveillance authority in history. I will do everything in my power to stop it from passing the Senate, said Senator Wyden. Now, we've worked with Wyden in the past. He's been very good on civil liberties, and he's got a keen eye for these things.
That if you have access to any communications, the government can force you to help it spy. That means anybody with access to a server, a wire, a cable box, a Wi-Fi router, a phone, or a computer. So think for a moment about the millions of Americans who work in buildings and offices in which communications are stored or passed through. After all, every office building in America has data cables running through it. The people are not just the engineers who install, maintain, and repair our communications infrastructure. There are countless others who could be forced to help the government spy, including those who clean offices and guard buildings. If this provision is enacted, the government can deputize any of these people against their will and force them, in effect, to become what amounts to an agent for Big Brother. For example, by forcing an employee to insert a USB thumb drive into a server at an office they clean or guard at night. This can all happen without any oversight whatsoever. The FISA court won't know about it. The Congress won't know about it. Americans who are handed these directives will be forbidden from talking about it.
There you go,
that's
everybody.
Just incredible. The person who cleans the building at night can be forced to insert a thumb drive and download all the data of an employee, and that he or she cannot tell anyone about it, and the government will force them to spy on Americans. Yeah, I can't believe it.
When I was listening to this and reading what's going on, I keep thinking back to our first experience with this type of issue, and my comment to myself was, it all started with the Patriot Act.
Sure, you remember what they did during the Patriot Act time. They said, we're at war, Ron. This is no time to be whining about civil liberties.
That's how
they rammed it through. We're at war.
If this stands, this is a tremendous victory for the police state.
Yes.
And so often in past times, people would say, how did the people go along with this? Why did they do it? There were a lot of good people in Japan and Germany and Italy and all these places, and yet they still went along with it. But here's an example of it. They don't keep their guard up, and they're taught to be obedient to anything that sounds like patriotism, and they go along with it.
Yeah, so right. And, of course, the larger point that I often try to make, or almost every time try to make, is that FISA, all of FISA is unconstitutional. And this is an expansion of it. And it is connected, at least ideologically. I'm sure people are aware of it in Washington, D.C. But I don't think a lot of reporters have been mentioning what I mentioned a little bit earlier at the start of the show, which is that Joe Biden, and you can go to my MRC TV pages for this, but Joe Biden already issued an executive order that says that the U.S. government can at any time demand access to anybody's security protocols for their software, for their hardware, anything that they claim in Washington could be utilized for defensive purposes or for a medical application, because they say that there could be some sort of medical biological warfare aspect to it. And so under the auspices of emergency, they also have claimed it through the executive branch. Now, we also know that on Friday, they're going to be pushing the TikTok ban, and that is just straight out theft. Just like the seizure of Russian assets, the seizure of the Iranian assets, as I mentioned last night, and I went through some of the history of that. You know, people got so upset when the United States government gave Iran back money that the United States government had illegally and unconstitutionally seized and held for over a decade and two decades. And people like, I can't believe Obama's paying off Iran. That was the second part of money that should have been sent over. No, that was the first part. And then Biden sent over some more. So at least in that instance, they were doing what was called for years before and had been delayed and should never have happened. The seizure of foreign assets. There's no declared war. How do they get away with it? I don't know. Maybe you could ask the speaker. I guess we can't. Somebody's pulling the string in that speaker. Somebody's got the wires backwards in that speaker. Unfortunately, he's just spouting nonsense. It is amazing. Now, let's go over into the first part that I mentioned here on the war coverage stuff, because as we saw, Speaker Johnson unveiling the $95 billion total, $61 for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel. There's something else that I want to show you, which I think is pretty key. And this comes from Douglas McGregor, as he was on with Judge Napolitano yesterday talking about what he's seeing coming out of Ukraine. We already knew there was no chance the Ukrainians were going to be successful in any way whatsoever, right? Not at all. We'll talk about Iran and Israel in a minute, and the Gaza thing in a minute, or after Eric Peters joins us. But I want to give you this information about Ukraine, because supposedly Speaker Johnson didn't think it was wise to give more money to Ukraine. He never mentioned the Constitution, but he was just saying, well, he was, of course, using it as leverage so he could get more money for Israel, and then claiming he was using it for leverage to get money for the border. That's not part of any of these bills for people who still think they want the central government and their command posts to control the border, right? Well, that's not happening, even with the supposedly conservative guy, Mr. Speaker, and he's getting advice, or at least he's taking advice from tweets from a guy who, yes, wanted to silence people in 2005, Newt Gingrich. Nothing like the black-robed oligarchs of a tyrannical police state, huh? Of course, all states are really police states. Just depends how hard they're hitting you, right? If you don't want to pay, you'll find out what kind of state it is. So let's turn to some very keen observations from Douglas McGregor, who offered, I think, something that, let me just double check something here, who offered something that I think really shows us what we expected all along. Ukraine is on its last legs. And in fact, now they're actually going around demanding your papers. Everyone, male and female in Ukraine from ages 16 to 60 has to have on hand at any time, when asked by so-called authorities, their draft documents. They're also asking foreigners if they would like to join the Ukrainian military. Why? Not only have they been close to a million of their soldiers been wiped out, but in addition to that, we're also looking at the fact that many are starting to defect, according to Douglas McGregor. Let's hear what he had to say to Judge Napolitano yesterday.
No, they're absolutely credible. That's one of the reasons the Ukrainians are, in many cases, are saying, let's get this over with and be done with it. The Russians, contrary to the propaganda in the West, have treated anyone who came voluntarily to them, surrendered, very, very well. In fact, the Ukrainian soldiers have probably been better fed and received better medical care than they did when they were in their own force. So, no, this is very credible. You know, again, if you go back to President Putin's interview, at one point he told Tucker, you know, this is more than what you think it is. It's more like a civil war. And he talked about Ukrainian units where everyone in the formation spoke Russian. And said, we won't surrender because we're Russians. They didn't refer to themselves as Ukraine. So there's more going on here than I think we realize. And the good news is I think we're at the end of this pointless and destructive struggle.
We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Israel carrying out a military strike against Iran. Iranian officials said air defenses intercepted 3 drones and that there were no reports of a missile attack. Iranian's foreign minister telling CNN that his country will not wait to retaliate. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been snubbed by his own family. The son of the late Robert F. Kennedy, running as an independent for president, but didn't get the endorsement from his relatives. Carrie Kennedy, a daughter of the former Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, along with about 13 other Kennedys, joined together to endorse President Joe Biden. All 12 jurors have been selected for the hush money criminal trial involving former President Trump in New York City. The jury made up of 7 men and 5 women. Corey Myers, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at FreeTalkLive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X feed at Guard Goldsmith. And of course, feel free to visit my Substack. And don't forget, I do want to remind you folks that Jeffrey Pyatt was, of course, in the news as he said that the new Russian Arctic pipeline would be dead in the water. He was the one who was on the phone call with Victoria Nuland in the infamous F the EU phone call early 2014 as they discussed whom they were going to put in charge of the government of Ukraine. And Jeffrey Pyatt is now the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Energy Resources, and it's the Arctic LNG 2 pipeline that the Russian government would like to allow or like to help construct along with some of its forces. I don't like the government getting involved, but the U.S. government is going to block it. They are dead set against it, just like all these other areas where they don't want you to get natural gas and energy. They're trying to stop that as well. And I don't hear the Speaker of the House speaking up in favor of that for you. Do you? No. I don't hear the Speaker saying, hey, what is the Biden administration doing and not allowing American consumers to try to get more? I don't get it. By the way, when it comes to the Libertarian Institute, I do want to mention that they have done great work covering the number of, now switching over to Israel and Gaza, the number of humanitarian sites and convoys that have been attacked in Gaza. Connor Freeman, April 16th, put this out. Prior to the Israeli military slaughter of 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza this month. Middle East Eye reports that at least 357 humanitarian-run sites and convoys had been attacked. As with the incident involving the slain WCK workers, which included an American citizen, the humanitarian orgs shared their coordinates in advance with operations with in advance of operations with the warring parties, and they went according to the chosen paths from Israel. Israel hit them anyway, and UN officials have warned of great difficulty in repairing the broken humanitarian notification system. Which brings us back to antiwar.com, because at antiwar.com, they're reporting. Remember how we said that the Israelis were saying, oh, it's perfectly fine now to go into the north? Well, guess what they're doing? They're bombing the north. Yeah. They're bombing the north. In fact, I'll just say that briefly. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. It's ridiculous. I want to just mention this just briefly. Also, that, and did I say Iran or Israel? I hope I said Israel. The Israelis. Might have actually delayed the Israelis might have actually delayed their attack on Rafah because of the Iranian attack. So the Iranian attack on some of the military sites in Israel might have actually allowed some of those people to get out of there, some of the innocent people, because we don't even know how many so-called terrorists there are. And for the Iranians and their response, the United States and the EU are pushing for more sanctions against Iran rather than sanctions against Israel for actually killing civilians in Syria. The European Union will start the necessary work to hit Iran with heavier sanctions after Saturday's aerial attack in Israel, the bloc's top diplomat has said. That's Joseph Borrell said he would ask to study the possibility of expanding existing EU sanctions against Iranian drone technology. It would see the current sanctions regime established in July last year to punish Iran for aiding so-called Putin's war machine expanded to include missiles and to also cover Iran's proxies in the region. And they will just claim that they are proxies, anything they want. That's what they'll do. And here is more about Israel. They're imposing unlawful restrictions on the aid and when it gets through. UN Rights Office says Israel is still imposing unlawful restrictions on Gaza aid. UN's Human Rights Office said on Tuesday that Israel is still imposing unlawful restrictions on aid entering Gaza, that according to Reuters. After Israel slaughtered 7 workers, and that got some attention in the West, didn't it? But it didn't stop the flow of weapons. Just got them saying things, and they're still going to do exactly what they did before. Benjamin Netanyahu's government supposedly made a commitment to allow more aid into the Strip, but the UN says aid levels are still too low and below the bare minimum of what is needed. No shocker. Let's hear another excellent cut from Judge Napolitano with Connor Freeman this time. From this afternoon, Connor Freeman is with the Libertarian Institute, and occasionally when Dave DeCamp isn't with Antiwar, Connor will fill in and write articles for Dave. You did that about a week ago. Check this out. Connor's got some key things to say about the United States position with Israel and this bizarre idea that Iran's response is somehow what deserves all the attention from the high and mighty hearts on their sleeves Westerners, when they didn't say a peep or try to install sanctions against Israel for its attack on the Syrian embassy, Iranian embassy in Syria. Here's Connor.
In the case of even the genocide in Gaza, there's really no moral. Certain people are subjected to certain, if you want to call them this, laws of morality that other countries are not. So when we say send in Nazis over the border into Russia to kill civilians and attack civilians, or we complicit in it, that's really not a crime. But of course, Russia and their war against Ukraine is viewed as the ultimate evil. even though we are using Ukraine as a human battering ram.
The U.S. pretty much makes up its own rules as it goes along and makes up rules for others. Any other country doing in Gaza what the Israelis are doing, even the U.S. would acknowledge that it's genocide. But because the U.S. pays for it, and pays for it under pressure from the donor class that really has a vice grip on the U.S. government, it's not considered genocide. It's not even considered a war crime, and the president can condemn it all he wants, but he keeps paying for it.
Precisely.
And the Israeli, the IDF, can occupy the West Bank and can occupy Gaza all at once. But Joe Biden will attack Vladimir Putin for occupying the eastern part of Ukraine, but will pay for Benjamin Netanyahu occupying Palestine.
Absolutely. $3.8 billion a year, at least.
How much of this free speech for me, but not for thee, is going to go on?
I really don't see any end in sight, Judge. I mean, for instance, you know, the to your point, the Israelis, the American government makes much more of a stink about how women are treated in Iran than they do about Israel attacking or bombing 400 different health facilities in Gaza and killing 700 or hundreds anyway of they killed 700 people in those attacks in the first 5 months of the war, according to the World Health Organization. But they've killed hundreds and hundreds of medical workers and doctors and nurses and hundreds of aid workers, mostly working for the UN. They've tortured UN workers. They've raped UN workers. They are currently, you know, as you say, as you're alluding to, demolishing thousands and thousands of buildings on the border with Israel in Gaza to create a so-called buffer zone. And they're currently stealing at least 16% of the land in Gaza. And we have, you know, members of the Knesset in the Jewish Power Party, Itamar Ben-Gavir's party, the, you know, some of the worst hardliners talking about how we have secret plans. We're going to be resettling Gaza. We're going to be taking it back. It may happen in phases, unfortunately, but we're going to take Gaza. And you know, Benny Gantz, of course, is saying that this war is going to go on for years and years and years, and the plan is for an indefinite occupation, and that's been repeated. So, of course, the American position is, well, we don't want to see Israel taking any land from Gaza. We have seen, but then, of course, when they announce that that's exactly what they're doing, the Biden administration does nothing, sends thousands or more 2,000-pound bombs and salutes everything that Netanyahu is doing, despite the claims of frustration. It's hard to swallow, but our government is just as criminal and genocidal and venal as the Israelis.
Nicely put. Criminal, genocidal, and venal. I mean, the Israeli government is a criminal gang, and you're correct to quote Benny Gantz. I mean, Benny Gantz is tall, slim, nice-looking, and likable, as opposed to Netanyahu, who was none of those. But in terms of the ferocity, it's the way God made him, but in terms of the ferocity of their policy, Gantz might actually be worse. I mean, when Gantz was the head of the IDF, the stuff that he did in Gaza, which was not covered even by us at the time, was as horrific as what Netanyahu and his crew are doing now. I think Netanyahu's days are numbered, but I don't think anything's going to change with respect to Gaza unless a state actor enters, which brings us back to Ukraine. My understanding of what the Israelis did was to kill civilians and attack an embassy, a consulate adjacent to an embassy. Consulates and embassies are immune from attack, even in wartime, under the Geneva Conventions, to which the Israelis are signatories. They don't care.
Of course.
Iran attacked military sites. They did send hundreds and hundreds of drones. They were all aimed at military sites. The purpose of the drones was to force the Israelis to waste their defensive mechanisms by shooting down the drones, and by doing them, revealing where the shooting down was coming from. They succeeded in doing that. That is, the Ukrainians now know where the Israeli defenses are, and the Israelis wasted $1.3 billion worth of ammunition in one night. Five missiles got through. They destroyed an intelligence headquarters, the headquarters that planned and plotted the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. and they render useless to airfields. There is no moral equivalency. One was a targeted, let's not hurt civilian military attack. The other was, who cares about international law? Let's destroy the embassy. Let's kill the generals. And if anybody else gets killed, too bad.
That's absolutely right. And also the Iranians gave at least a 72-hour notice and had been telegraphing this attack for 2 weeks at least. They had definitely let the Turks and the Jordanians and the Iraqis and I believe the Saudis as well know about the attack, who they no doubt passed that information along to the United States. And so, of course, Israel knew about it probably for the same duration. And the, as you say, they only targeted military sites, and they didn't kill anybody. They injured the one injury of the 7-year-old Bedouin girl in the Negev was a result of a shrapnel that came down from a missile that was intercepted. And in the case of the bombing of the Iranian consulate, civilians were killed in that. And it was 7 IRGC officials, including General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, the top Quds Force commander for operations in Lebanon and Syria, and his deputy. And so this was a absolute declaration of war against Iran. And the Iranians, actually, there's been reports that they actually said to the Americans in these back channel communications, if you push for a ceasefire, then we will not respond here to the Israelis. And they also said that if the UN Security Council would condemn the attack on the Iranian consulate, which is a flagrant violation of international law, virtually unprecedented. They still, the Americans, the British, and the French did not, and they're shameless, and they continue to lie in support of this genocide. And of course, we're seeing what it's reaping, which is a larger regional war with the axis of resistance, which is led by the Quds Force, led by Iran. And this is Benny Gantz's plan. Actually, Benny Gantz announced earlier, I believe during when Naftali Bennett was still prime minister, that the goal of the really, the Abraham Accords project was to build a NATO-style coalition encircling Iran for a future war.
And there you go. Now, I just wanted to make sure I got that in about the Abraham Accords, because, of course, people were all praising Donald Trump, who, you know, what he did with Jerusalem. And they were saying, oh, you know, Donald Trump, this would be a totally different game, ball game if Donald Trump were president. Well, Donald Trump and the Abraham Accords go hand in hand. And the encircling of Iran was clearly part of the long-term agenda, and it has been happening for ages. So it's amazing to think that people can somehow continue to support any of the presidential candidates out there that are the major candidates, even RFK Jr., who's sort of the minor of the major candidates. They're all supportive of unconstitutional activities, taking your money to feed a war machine. It's just happening like crazy. It is ridiculous. In the meantime, they conduct war against you. They stop you from being able to freely associate with people, from communicating with people, from buying the goods you want to buy, from traveling. If you want to travel, unless you had the jabs, you couldn't go over the border if you were a trucker. It's just ridiculous. Now, by the way, over the border on the Canadian thing, I did a quick check, and I believe the Canadian proposal would raise the tax. It would go up 16.7% from where it stands right now for the capital gains tax. It would go from 50% to 66.7%. So, yeah, it's only 16%, only 16%. So, great job, Connor Freeman, there. And I also want to mention, to bring it back to the United States policymakers and what's coming this week, we've got all these proposals plus this incredibly intrusive FISA anti-speech thing. And so let's break it down to pack in the money's worth here for you. We've got the Iranians and the Israelis. As Connor mentioned, he has heard that the Iranians told the United States government that if they could, if they would ask for a ceasefire, which Biden did not specifically do, and by policy, they were already signaling Iran as Israel, as they're doing now, that they're perfectly fine to go and retaliate. because already we see the speaker wanting to send more billions to Israel. Despite all the things that, Joe Biden say, oh, they better cut that out and all this sort of nonsense, right? No, they are going to be shooting for a bigger conflict. They're not allowing any of us to be heard. This is the time to grit our teeth and look at these people and face them off. And yes, call the Senate. Call the various senators who supposedly are your senators. Tell them to stop this. Call the Congress people. Tell them to stop this, right? I mean, you don't need me to implore it, but if you, you know, I'm going to do something tomorrow and just make some phone calls and say, hey, what's going on? You know, just lodge a phone call with the Senate offices and the House offices, right? Just do that at least. At least feel like maybe you did something extra, right? If it's not too much time. It's time for nothing because nothing's going to happen. But at least we can protest. At least we can speak up and tell our friends, I'm getting very frustrated. What are you going to do? Well, it seems like the political options on the national level don't work. Trying to separate on a local level may work, but they've got so many strings attached through the government money chain. So many government money chains attached that state politicians, county politicians, many city politicians rely on the inflated pork barrel spending of the United States government. Every 100 days, another $1 trillion in debt. And it's going to keep coming because they're going to try to continue to sweet talk people and give them gifts to go along with their incredibly metastasizing tyranny, right? But I do want to turn this frown upside down a little bit. So, well, maybe offer a little something extra for the bonus on the show, little extra value here. If you go to my Twitter/X feed, you'll see the story about which I was referring, which was the precursor. So we've got the Israel-Iran stuff, the money for that. We've got the doublespeak of various politicians like David Cameron saying, well, what Iran did in Israel is just unbelievable, even though they already are party to agreements in the UN, whether or not I like the statism of it or not. And the idea that anybody's going to be taking somebody's money to fund a war machine, whether it's in Iran or Israel or anywhere, according to their agreements, those pompous statists like David Cameron, they already have agreements that say, yes, a nation state is allowed, according to the UN, to retaliate. And even if you look at the specifics of the way the Iranians retaliated, they didn't target civilians. That's not what the the Iranians didn't target Israeli civilians. The Israelis did target civilians, and they targeted some politicians inside that embassy. They didn't know who was going to be in that embassy. They didn't know who was going to get blown out nearby it. But they targeted it anyway, just like they've been devastating civilians and wiping them out in Gaza. They don't care. There is something very peculiar. And I said, I noticed this mindset amongst many of the Zionists when I was at BU. They don't care about the lives of other human beings that much. There's something very strange in the hardcore Zionists. And I don't know what it is, but it's pathological. It's only their nation state and their group of people, and they're not necessarily even practicing Jewish or ethnically Jewish. It's the people supporting the Jewish state and the expansion of it into Gaza. That's what it's about. It's like this bizarre obsession. They can't shake themselves out of it. I don't even think they want to. I do think it's I always say that the state is sociopathic because society exists separate from the government. As Frederick Bastiat said, society are the practices, traditions, and respect that we come up with and we practice through multiple iterations to see what works and doesn't work, the new developments in economics that help people, the bad things that are dropped out, and the good things that rise, right? We freely associate, we get to test them. Government is imposed on us. It is not society. And the only way government can exist, the state, the political government, can exist, is by forcing society to cough up a portion of what it produces. Therefore, by definition, the state is sociopathic. It works against society. That's the only way it can operate. It's the only way the state can exist, is to be sociopathic. It already says a portion of your decisions are not yours. A portion of your labor is not yours. It's ours. And then it expands. So whatever it is, whether it's your privacy or it's the fact that you don't want your money going to slaughter innocent people in Palestine or to perpetuate a quixotic war in Ukraine, none of it matters because the stays have already been pulled. They pulled them all the minute they said that the government is there for your protection. Now pay us. And people buy into it, right? So we've got the Iranian-Israeli thing, the double standards. We've got the incredibly ridiculous, completely disconnected from reality Speaker of the House saying he's a wartime speaker. Amazing. Just incredible. No declaration of war, not even a mention of it, and nobody even brings it up to him. They just lap it up. Are they even aware in the reporter pool that there's a thing called the Declaration of War? They didn't seem to be aware of it when the United States invaded Iraq. They went with the term authorization to use military force. Evidently, the network chattering heads thought that sounded sophisticated. Well, as sophisticated as it sounds, it's not in the document that they swear to uphold. It's not in their ruling document. It's not in the document that allows for a Speaker of the House. So maybe we can just say that the Speaker of the House shouldn't exist. When he comes to New Hampshire, I'll say, hey, you know, you're not Speaker. Well, it says so in the Constitution. Really? It also says you have to declare war if you want to send weapons overseas. That if you want to claim you're a wartime Speaker, you actually have to have a declared war there, buddy. How about that? Are people going to mock him for that? Well, Thomas Massie's doing so. Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing so. A few others are doing so. Like libertarians, like the Ron Paul Institute, like Judge Napolitano, Russell Brand also. He was speaking about the Bible again today. Those people are speaking out. Kim Iverson speaking out. People like the folks at Redacted are speaking out. But the general reporters pool in D.C., they've operated so long under the idea that the government can just say we're at war, war on terror, war on drugs, war on this, that he can get away with it. Nobody says, oh, excuse me, can you shut up for a second, dude, because you sound like an idiot. You're not literally at anything. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can check us out live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X at Gardner Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And thank you so much for believing in individual liberty.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.